Thanks for tuning in to The Real Deal Show, brought to you by ebodyboarding.com and Tribe Boards. Hey everybody, Jay Real coming back at you with another episode of The Real Deal Show. This one is a Zoom show. I've only done one or two of these, but I felt that this one really warranted a Zoom call to the man who you see on the screen with me. And this is Mr. Rob Rice. Now, those of you that have been in the sport of bodyboarding as long as I have, which is like back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, might go, who is Rob Rice? Well, let me give you the quick rundown on Rob and then we'll get into it. First of all, welcome, Rob. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Right on. And you are right now physically up in Santa Barbara. Is that right? Is that where you live now?
Yeah, right next door to Santa Barbara and Goleta.
Excellent. Okay. So you are up the coast from us. And but Rob hasn't always lived in Santa Barbara. And the reason I have Rob on the podcast is he has a very important part in the history of the sport of bodyboarding that goes back specifically to the year 1980. And that history involves the very first bodyboarding event at Pipeline. And Rob, what was the name of that event? Can you say the entire name of it?
Yeah, it was the Coca-Cola North Shore Bodyboard Classic was the official name of it. And it was held on December 8th, 1980 up at Pipeline, which I think anybody knows anything about Hawaii. If you're up in the North Shore in the winter, you better look out. So the whole concept of having a contest of bodyboarders up at a Pipeline, no less, was a big undertaking. It was something that was rather challenging.
I can only imagine. So let's dive into how you got involved in putting on this event, which, by the way, I've done a couple of podcasts where I've mentioned that event. And I actually used to have a North Shore board, which we'll get into also. But one of the guys I've interviewed on my podcast, JP Patterson, he won that event. So what I want to know, first of all, Rob, is how did you get involved with the sport of bodyboarding to the point where you decided to put on this event?
Well, it's kind of history here. So it goes back a long time. So I'm going to try to, consolidate this so we don't spend a whole bunch of time about it. But in the 1978, I just happened to come across a company. I was living in Hawaii and kind of was a maintenance man, a young guy. I was a surfer. My son, Derek, was a bodyboarder. I would go bodyboarding with him, but I was more committed to, board surfing. And somehow stumbled across this name of this company called Surecraft out of east of Los Angeles that were making bodyboards. And so I kind of looked into it a little bit and I, got a board, gave it to my son, got a board from us just to test drive it, if you will. And I said, no, these are pretty good boards. I mean, now to put it into the perspective of what was going on in 78, 79, and 80, of course, Tom Morey's boards owned the world. I mean, he had boards selling everywhere and he's the guy that invented it. So it's an amazing accomplishment on his behalf. But by the time it got near 1979-ish, he sold the company, and I may not be absolutely accurate, but about that time, sold the company and was bought by a company, to the best of my knowledge, and I'll tell you how we get back to that. But it was Cransco, were people that bought and made and sold, like, for your pool, like chairs, lounge chairs, and this, that, and everything. So picking up the boogie boards, was a big deal for them. Yep. And they did really well. So anyway, I thought, hey, what the heck? I was just, having fun surfing, and just stumbled across this thing and contacted the company. And they said, we would love it if you could, try to sell it and promote it. And so I entered a new agreement with them and got all the rights to their surfboards for all the islands in Hawaii. And so then I started going out and selling it and promoting it. And I think that the whole world changed for bodyboards on that effort, because I'm not sure exactly what happened between the people that were selling Morey boogie boards in that 78, 79, and 80. And along comes me, nobody from nowhere, and just hustles and hustles and hustles. And we started in 79, really overtaking the entire market. So places like even CVS that sold Morey's didn't sell them anymore. And all the military bases that had them, especially like in Waikiki and so forth, they started stacking ours. And then as we went from neighboring islands and started doing the same thing, all of a sudden we started to dominate the entire market. And all of a sudden, who are these guys from the company that was sold to Kransko? Like, who are these guys and how come our sales are going down and theirs are going way up? And it was really just a matter of a lot of effort.
Well, yeah, along those lines, I started bodyboarding in 79. And of course, at that point, Morey owned the market. And then they had a board, their top of the line board was called the Proline Red Edge. And then in came North Shore by Surecraft. It had a built-in handle and it had this like tunnel bottom on it. And they used Jack the Ripper Lindholm in their advertising, who was kind of the most well-known bodyboarder of that era. And they ran some ads in some of the surf publications. That's where I first saw the boards. And in fact, I had a Proline Red Edge, and I'm going to do this quick screen share for you. And that is me with, I don't know if you can see the screen there, Rob, but that is me with my North Shore bodyboard. It was the second board I ever owned. This is circa 1980. So that is an example. I wanted the best board on the market. And at that point, that was the best board on the market. So I switched to that board. And, you know, the interesting part of that is that eventually in the history of bodyboarding, the brand was bought out by Morey, which was interesting. They were like, let's get rid of the competition, you know? So that was pretty interesting. They took that over. And
well, let me explain some of that history, because it's very important to understand this, is that that first of all, the North Shore, I told them at Surecraft, you need to name a board. And if you want to name a board, name it North Shore. I mean, there's no more place in the Hawaiian Islands that gets the kind of recognition the North Shore does, of course. Yep. I mean, it doesn't. And so they did that. They took advice. Now, I want to state this because I cannot absolutely tell you that this is accurate. But what happened is when, and again, to my knowledge, Kransko bought Morey out in the 78, 79.
Right.
And there was a running dispute that they were using Jack the Ripper Lindholm's image and name on their products without his permission.
Interesting.
And when I sat down with Jack and I said, you know, what's going on here? Are you working for them? He goes, no. I said, are you getting paid for this? No. And I said, well, do you want to come over to Surecraft and we'll pay you and we're going to use your name?
Yeah.
And we'll reward you for your name. And he said, yeah. And so if you look back when you bought that board, you would have seen his image on the label. And so a lot of what happened is there's a couple of guys that own this company called Surecraft in California had no clue, you know, how the whole thing works and how, you know, what it's like to be in Hawaii and, you know, what's going on in this sport and, you know, and the fact that Morey had been around and he's an icon. And so forth. So I started getting involved in their promotions and packaging and stuff. And they were the first one, you're right, the first one ever to put a handle on a boogie board. Yeah. And I want to also put out, we were not allowed to use the word boogie board. It was owned by, you know, by Tom.
Right.
And so I said, you can't use that. You're going to get sued or get into trouble. And so we just had to go by the law of bodyboarding. But we got Jack to come over. And just for fun, for people who want to, we took a telephone booth like you would find anywhere in those days. We took it down to a beach. We got permission from the telephone company. And we put, Jack in the phone booth and did a commercial. And that was Jack's office. Jack sitting on the phone on the beach promoting and, of course, promoting, the North Shore board.
I love it. Yeah, it was a great board. In fact, Jack actually carried that design through to his next sponsor, Wave Rebel, down the track. But let's get back to the board itself. You were promoting the board, and at some point you probably thought, well, I'm going to hold a contest at the most famous wave in the world. What better way to promote this product? Is that kind of how it went down?
Well, you know, we took into a lot of considerations. I mean, again, you know, Tom's product was, you know, as good as it gets. And then along comes us, you know, the new kid on the block. So I basically, you know, told this company, you know, in Hawaii anyway, because I owned the rights to all the islands. And I said, you know, you have to approach us the way it is in Hawaii. And if you don't, you're not going to get anywhere. And so they said, just do what you think is going to work. So we would try this and it worked. And then we tried that and it worked. But I said, you know, if you really want to make an impression, you know, there's never been a professional bodyboard contest ever. And nobody ever, you know, participated for, you know, winning and money, you know, like any other sport. And I said, what's happening here is that people don't appreciate, because again, as a surfer, I mean, God knows how many famous surfers there are out of Hawaii. I said, but they don't have that kind of recognition as bodyboarders. And I said, let me tell you, you want to go out the pipeline again on a bodyboard, tell me that's not just as tough as getting out there on a surfboard, because it is. And so they said, okay, what do you want to do? And I said, well, let's do, nobody's ever done this before, let's do it. And so they got, you know, they could see our sales were going up and up and up. They said, well, give this guy anything he asks for.
Yeah. So you asked for money, obviously, to not only to put on the event, but some prize money, obviously.
Yeah, and I think one of the things there was that, first of all, I have to really thank the people at the radio station, because we used to do this thing called the secret surf spot on the radio station with them. Every day up until Friday, Monday through Thursday, they would give you a little hint that we would write. And then Friday would be, we would answer it. And they would say, okay, you know, first person that calls in the radio station and gets the right, you know, where's the secret surf spot, you get the North Shore bodyboard. And it was a huge success. The radio station loved it. They absolutely loved it. And so I said to them, we're thinking about doing this, you know, professional contest. Will you promote it? Will you? And so forth and so on. They said, absolutely. And then I went and for, you know, expenses and stuff, I went to Coca-Cola and they said, absolutely, we'll do it.
How did you convince Coca-Cola? Was it, obviously it was a similar demographic, people that would bodyboard or be interested in bodyboarding or drinking Coca-Cola? I assume you kind of went at it at that angle, right?
Well, I mean, I think anytime Coca-Cola can get their name into, like you said, that demographic, they're going to do it. Of course, they have a lifelong competitor in Pepsi.
Yeah.
So they, and they're way ahead of Pepsi. But I'm saying they wanted to make sure that Pepsi didn't get to be the sponsor. And so I kind of leveraged it both ways.
Oh, good call. Good call. So, yeah.
But, you know, the whole concept is like, okay, that's great on paper, but how are you going to do this? And one of the things I said, first of all, on doing this was, okay, look, the first thing you're going to have to do is get a legitimate, you know, a judges.
Yeah.
Whoever going to judge this thing has to be real people that know the water. They don't necessarily have to be bodyboarders, but they, you know, they got to be people that know what's going on out there. Because when it's 6 to 8 feet, you better know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's how we approached. We said, we're not even going to do this unless we can find the right judges. So we went to a bunch of groups, you know, outrigger canoes and swimming clubs. And we got a great group of guys. They were absolutely phenomenal, very professional how they did it. And so we said, oh my gosh, now we got one hurdle. Now what? And so
we
started getting shirts made. But the radio station did an enormous job of promoting. You can imagine that all over. And so the next thing was, well, how are you going to pay for all some of this stuff?
Right.
And so we had to get in, you had to pay into the contest, you had to pay $50.
Okay.
At first, I didn't think anybody would do it. But
yeah, that's a lot of money in 1980. Yeah.
Back then, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we got a huge turnout. I think we had 24 or 25 people that turned out.
And these are probably people that heard about it through the radio, or exactly. Did you put flyers up at surf shops as well?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I think you got the copies of what it looked like.
Yep, I got that. I'm going to post that on Instagram.
All the surf shops were very helpful. They said, my God, you're really going to have the first professional bodyboard? You're going to give the winners money? Go, yeah. And wow. So a lot of people went, we got to see this. I mean, if this is really going to happen. And so we got a lot of contestants came out. I mean, there were a lot of good. I mean, the five guys that ended up 1 through 5, but there was a lot of talent out there that day. And it was not a big day for Pipeline, but a darn good size for Pipeline. And like you said, the radio station really promoted it. And we had a huge, I had no idea we'd get that big. That beach was absolutely covered with people at the contest.
So people had to mail in their entries with a check, I assume. And how did you get a permit? Was it hard to get a permit? Now it's like, you can't get a permit to save your life to run an event on the North Shore
those were the good old days.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just think that a lot of people, including the people in the North Shore, they have to put up with the tourists and all that and the surf season and blah, blah, blah. It was like, it was so novel and so new. Everybody went, man, let's see if they can actually do this.
Like the idea of it. So here's the other interesting part of this, Rob, is you picked one day. It could have been 30 feet or it could have been 1 foot. Could have been onshore, offshore. Were you stuck with that one day no matter what? And did you have a backup plan in case it was gigantic?
Well, we followed the weather pretty closely. And then again, we had other people in, organizations, like canoe clubs and other people that said, here's what you got to do. We'll help you. We'll keep you. The weather service was really good to us too. And so, yeah, we picked one date knowing that any, water event can be postponed. So I wasn't worried about that too much because, first of all, I think we got a really good weather report. And again, being in December, it was like, oh, my God, let's hold our breath.
Sure. Well, plus probably almost every competitor was from Oahu, right? So it wasn't like they were worried about travel plans or whatever, right?
I guess I go back to what I said earlier. I mean, there was a lot of interest in participating in it. I mean, 24, I think it was 24 is the right number. That's a lot. We did not expect that many people would want to enter the contest.
Yeah. So you got lucky. You had a beautiful day with decent surf. I've seen pictures of the event in a magazine called Action Now, which was at that time sort of an action sports magazine. They promoted, BMX and surfing and skateboarding and bodyboarding. Everything was in there. And there were pictures of the event. And the waves actually looked pretty good. You said it was a decent day at Pipeline, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it was a day where it was just the right height to get for the, for the people watching it. Because it wasn't closing out that fast. So these guys could really rip it. And they did. I mean, they had, they had the just enough height to do some of the incredible movements. And a lot of people had never even seen people do that they're used to seeing little kids on a bodyboard, but they'd never seen the real pros at it. And boy, they went nuts when they watched these.
Wow. So, you show up that morning, you have all the prizes from Coca-Cola and you got the boards and you had a requirement. Everyone had to ride a Surecraft North Shore board. Is that right?
Yeah, that was to make it even. So nobody had some advantage over the other. And obviously it was a promotional thing too.
I mean, sure.
But deep down it was, no, everybody has to play this game with the same tool.
Well, Maury did the same with their Pipeline event that started in 1982, 2 years later. And they had the same rule for probably 10 years. You had to ride a Maury board. So, yeah, it's a promotional tool. That's basically it. This is, hey, we're putting on this event to promote our product. So this is the way it's done. So eventually they relented on that, but totally understand. And that day, actually, the North Shore, in my opinion, was probably the best board on the market anyway. So it was probably to the most of the riders' benefit to ride that board. So. So the day starts. Did you start at 8 a.m. that morning running the event?
Yeah, pretty much that. I can't tell you the exact time, but, you know, I had my son was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and I had him have the, we had all the t-shirts for the event. So you got small, medium, large. And so here he is running this booth. And while we were getting the first, you know, team, you know, going out, the first group going out, because, you know, we had to split them up.
Oh, yeah.
Five people per each, you know.
Each heat.
Yeah. And so, I mean, because you have 25 people-ish. And you got to break him down. But I went, ran back to this booth that he's a little kid. And I go, how's it going? And he said, here's all the money. We're going to be sold out here pretty soon.
Wow.
So, we did. But I think the problem is that it was all well thought out. And like I say, I got to appreciate because the radio station did a live, you know, so that drew a lot of people.
Wow.
If you were driving around and not knowing what you want to do that day, here's the radio station about every 15 minutes. Say, hey, you need to get to the North Shore because this is the one in the, you know, time ever.
Yeah, the first time. Yeah.
And so it drew a lot of people. And but all the people that got involved in it, and including some, all the camera people. That's a whole nother story. We can talk about later. But everybody just really took it upon themselves to do the best they could. Because they were saying, like, this may never happen again.
Yeah. Well, obviously, eventually it did. But you guys really broke ground on this whole thing, running bodyboard events at Pipeline. And, you know, obviously it was a huge success. Do you remember any of the riders' specific moments out in the water that struck you? Or were you just so busy running the event that you didn't even get to watch the thing?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because, I mean, yeah, logistics, you got to keep. But, I mean, you know, there were some police there, you know. When we asked if they would help us, you know, just because we don't have any problems, not a problem. They said, absolutely, you know, the TV, the guys that came out did the video, the radio, I mean, all these things fell into place. So, I mean, I had time to actually watch some of this. And, you know, some of the guys that really impressed me were like Joe Teipel. I mean, that guy, I was amazed watching him. And of course, you know, here we have, you know, Jack, who that we've been paying to do things. But excuse me, I told the judges, make no preference here. Just because he's, you know, somebody that we've enlisted, that doesn't give him any benefit. He's going to have to run it. And everybody, quite frankly, in my own opinion, I think almost everybody, including me, thought he was going to win.
Yeah, he would have been the odds on favorite at that point. But then he had J.P. Patterson and Pat Caldwell, who I believe JP was one and Pat was second or third. Maybe Jack got second. I'm not sure.
I think Jack was fourth.
Oh, fourth place. Okay.
Which shocked a lot of people.
I bet.
I mean, when they announced that, you could have heard the gasp of air through the whole damn beach.
I bet.
Like,
yes.
What?
And there's still some debate amongst Pat and JP over who deserved to win that. JP was getting barrels. And Pat was doing El Rolos, and Pat felt, I think, maybe that he should have topped JP in that event because of that. But whatever the case may be, JP won. Now, Coca-Cola was a sponsor. Were they putting up some of the prize money? Were they giving out cases of Coke to people on the beach or the riders or what was going on there?
Because not only it was 20, I think it was $2,500, and then you divide it out and the winner got $1,000. But the winner also got all expense paid trip to the Kauai on a vacation. They all got boards. If you participated, you got to keep your board.
Wow.
And Coca-Cola said, we'll give you drive a, you know, semi truck and deliver the Coca-Cola to the winner. And
really?
And they were giving Coke away free.
Oh, man.
Those guys are sharp promoters. I mean, they are. And they were giving away free Coca-Cola at a sporting event. Is like, good God, they're gonna have more Coke to give away than anybody. But and you know, then you got a shirt, all the shirts that we had made up, and so you got. But you know, one of those things. It's again, the one thing that I really wanted to stress was I got to make sure that there's no hullabaloo about who the judges are.
Yes.
And we got to have one negative comment about it. I mean, somebody said, oh, my God, Jack didn't win. But then nobody said, oh, the judges were bad. They weren't. They were really good. I mean, you got to remember, they got all these, you know, different heats, right?
Yes.
I got it down to five. And I mean, they, and in an absolute, you know, gratitude to them, they put the five best guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, they, all those guys went on to have a lot of notoriety in the sport in one way, shape, or form. And in fact, when Maury did their pipeline event starting in 1982, a lot of those same guys made the final. Joe Teipel, you mentioned, you know, who was one of the top bodyboarders of that day and a famous surf reporter in Hawaii. And JP, Pat, Jack Lindholm, they were all prominent figures in all the early bodyboarding events. And your event kind of started that out at Pipeline. So, so, you know, the event went off. It was great. It was a huge success. Then what happened after that, Rob? I mean, no follow-up event after that? Or was that kind of the end of that wave of popularity?
Oh, okay. let me touch on one other thing, too.
Because sure, sure.
We did ask and said that we wanted women to participate. And to my knowledge, there was one woman who, you know, that paid the, and she was really well known, and I can't think of her name at the
Phyllis
moment.
Phyllis Dameron, maybe?
Well, you're going to get me.
Phyllis Dameron, no?
No, I, even if you may have told me what it was, what are we talking, something 30-some year, 40 years
yes,
ago?
Yes, yes.
So she was absolutely phenomenal, and I thought for sure she would get into the final, you know, five. And I never asked the judges anything. You guys, I don't want to ever be known that I had anything to do with these judges. And and she, I think she probably just missed it. But the point I was trying to make is that we wanted to have a woman's event too, but we only got one. And my son keeps telling me, no, I think there was another one. And I go, I don't think so. I think there was only one woman, which was a little bit of a disappointment for us, because I think it didn't get us a chance to illustrate that there's women out there that can do this pretty damn well, good as the boys.
Yeah,
we couldn't. We just didn't have enough entries.
And yeah, early days for the women. And eventually, of course, they went on to have their own pipeline event. And some of the best women bodyboarders of that day were from Hawaii. And that that's totally understandable. One girl signs up, you can't really run an event for one person, but yeah.
I think the one thing what you just touched on is why I'm really proud of that, because we did, with the concept, we want to show women can do this.
Yep.
They're just as outrageous as the guys are out there, and so I think even though that happened, I think we all walked away from that saying, you know, I think we've opened the door for some people.
Well, what's interesting about this, Rob, is that, you know, most recently they just had the women's division at the Pipeline event on the WSL, and those girls really broke new ground. But women bodyboarders have been charging Pipeline since forever, like 30 years, and they don't really get a whole lot of recognition for that. Ladies like Carol Phillips and Jan Marr, and the list goes on and on. Stephanie Peterson, they were charging big Pipeline, pulling into barrels many, many, many years ago. So, you know, I just wanted to give those ladies a shout out, because the WSL sort of overshadows the fact that was happening so long ago and has been going on for many years.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in the sport, and even I think in the museum of, you know, they don't even know that we did this. You know, it all started, all that we've seen is, oh yeah, it started in 82 by Maury, and we went, and my son stumbled across that. He goes, well, Dad, you know, that was 2 years after you introduced this.
Yes.
And I said, okay, let's drag out all the old pictures and all that.
I'm so glad you did, because I've literally mentioned it in like three or four of my podcasts, because I've interviewed JP and Pat. They're good friends of mine. You know, I've known them for 40 years. And I always talk about that event because there isn't a whole lot of documentation other than the Action Now magazine little pictorial that they did. There's not a lot of photos or memorabilia. So I was so glad when your son reached out to me and you guys sent me the pictures of you with the poster and the hat, the wild hat. That was so cool, man. And I was like, I got it. We got to talk about this event.
Yeah, Coca-Cola paid for the hats. They were intended to be that weird looking. I mean, we said, yeah, if you want to make your Coca-Cola brand stand out, then make the hat stand out.
It was 1980. It was a
baseball cap.
Anything.
Well, let me answer your question that you posed a minute ago, and that was, well, what happened after that event? And unfortunately, it's not a very pleasant story, because what happened is the company that I was, you know, representing and being their, you know, their distributor in the Hawaiian Islands sold their company. And to the best of my memory, it was sold to a guy with a last name of Reynolds. He bought the Surecraft, you know, the Surecraft company. And what happened is I owned the rights. As long as I sold X number every month, I had entitled to keep the rights to it. And I did easily, okay? And all of a sudden, it turned out that Mr. Reynolds sold it to Kransko. Kransko owns Mori Boogie Board.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So when I said to them, well, guys, I've met the legal requirement on my contract that I still own the rights to this. So, and we ended up in court. And I lost the court. Don't ask me how. I don't understand how we could have lost. I didn't have a very good attorney, obviously. And that's what happened. And then Kransko approached me and was basically wanted me to solicit selling their Mori Boogie Boards. And I said, no, I'm going to go do something else with my life. And that was it. And then you see what happened. 2 years later, they went, hey, let's go do what that guy did.
We're going to
hold the contest. Yeah.
Of course. Mary Lee, set that one up. So, yeah, they took the ball and ran with it, so to speak. But you guys really got the ball rolling, to use some cheesy euphemisms there. But what an amazing piece of history there. What are you doing now, Rob?
Oh, like, my gosh.
Are you still involved? By the way, a Zoom cuts me off at 45 minutes. And if we don't finish, we'll just start a new one.
Okay. Well, I'm retired.
So I got 4 minutes.
I surfed all the way up until I was in my 60s and finally said, you know, I'm getting too old for this. And, but, you know, I think the reason I have twin daughters that are, you know, out of college and everything. And Derek is my oldest son. But the whole point was I saw how much joy kids got out of boogie boards, body boards, call them whatever you like.
Yep.
And so when I got the chance to get the distributorship, I thought, you know, I'm doing something that people love to do. And I said, it's a very refreshing, you know. And but at the end of the day, Gary, it's a very hard way to make any money. I mean, I had another job. I was like a handyman and other stuff. But the fact is that there's so little profit in them, you know, and you got to get them and ship them and deliver them and go selling and all this other stuff. And I finally said, you know, after the legal issues, and they still wanted to, you know, they were trying to solicit me. And I just said, it's, you know, it's over. It's a chapter in my life. It's over.
Right. Well, you know what? How amazing that you did that. I'm so glad that, you know, I got to talk to you about that event and your involvement in bodyboarding in the early days. Thank you. Thank you for getting the ball rolling. I did the Mori Pipeline event 17 years in a row. So I thank you for kicking that whole thing off way back in the day. And some of those guys are still involved in the sport to this day, which is,
I believe it.
You know, it's a bit of a, you could claim that as a bit of a legacy on your part. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, I think the only thing, not to sound like sour grapes or anything, but I do think that even with Surecraft, the way it ended up wasn't very congenial. But the fact of the matter was that we made that effort to do it, you know, and it was like nobody else was doing it. So I said, why don't we do it? I mean, you know, it's something we can do and people will enjoy it.
So
let's
cool.
Do it.
Well, I know you're converting the event to digital format. You have a video of it. Is that correct?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we hired a guy that worked for the local NBC station in Honolulu with his regular, you know, news camera. And he didn't get the concept that you have to keep the video running while somebody's waiting to catch a wave. And he caught a lot of people that had already caught a wave or were in the act.
Turned the camera on too late. Yeah.
Yeah. But we have it. I'm having it transferred over because it's in this big old television, you know, cassette that's about the size of a football. It's going to be changed. But I think it's in it when I see it again. We have the award ceremony.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of kick. And I had a really good friend of mine, Margie Decker, a great girl, very attractive young lady. And that was for a reason. We named her Miss North Shore.
So she cool.
The awards and hand out the award checks. And
I'm sure she brags about that every day.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's so awesome.
Well, it's just one of those things that turned out really well. And you look back but I think the point you're making, Gary, is that a lot of that did something for the sport. I'm proud of the fact that I think we ratcheted up to the point where it started getting, much greater recognition.
Totally. Well, we're down to 30 seconds here on my timer. Look, Rob, I just want to thank you for your time. I'm going to wrap this up, but thank you so much. I appreciate your time and talking about this event. And we'll look forward to the digital version someday, and we'll put it on
our YouTube channel. I'll get you that as soon as I can.
Perfect. Thank you so much. This has been the Real Deal Show. Thank you so much for Rob Rice joining me today. And folks, if you like this on YouTube, give us a like, thumbs up, subscribe, put some comments in for Rob. I'll send him his way. And as always, we'll see you in the surf.